This is 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio, Erirangi o Whaingaroa. Hello, kia ora, my name is Jason. I teach holistic health and healing, and welcome to Your Health, Your Choice, a show that guides you on your healing journey, helping you choose your own healing path. And today, once again, back on the show to help us on that path, I have the beautiful, the wonderful, shall we? How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. Oh, it's so nice to be introduced.
I know, it's just like we...
I love to start every day like that. I walk into a room and someone's like, here she is.
Here she is, the beautiful, the wonderful.
Oh, so good. Yeah, I'm really good. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing great. You're calling in from Tauranga. That's where I last saw you, and we had a nice discussion around wanting some clarity around love and attachment and all these things, and some brilliant insights came up. And I thought we'd talk about that on the show to maybe help people with what's going on with them and getting clarity around love as well. So,
Such a great topic.
Yeah. I mean, we talked for 2 hours, so we've got to try and compress that down into one here or less than one. So where do you think we should begin with this?
I feel really called to open up the conversation with this concept that I have been feeling into and putting into practice over the last couple of years, because it absolutely relates to love and connection and relationship and all those things. However, it actually relates to all of life in existence. So the concept is called, and I've kind of developed this myself based on a lot of readings, but the way that I describe it is open-hearted connection without attachment. So just really feel into that if you've just heard that. So open-hearted connection without attachment, there's some really pivotal parts to that concept. And the reason I say we can utilize this state of being, not only being, but putting into action all of life, is because it's about not attaching to anything that is outside of that us, whether that be our job, whether we're a parent, whether we're not a parent, what our gender is, whether we have read 20,000 personal development books or we haven't, our materialistic things, our titles. Sometimes there's this need for humans to attach to labels and identities outside of ourselves, because essentially it keeps us safe. What we're doing is we're trying to keep ourselves safe with these attachments. However, what it also does is it takes us away from our true essence. So if we're constantly attaching who we are to, say, being a parent or being a teacher, I can relate to those two things because it's me, or being something, then what happens if, say something shifts in that space, or say it's a parent or a relationship, or we're attaching onto the outcome of it? What we're doing is we're putting all of our worth and our identity into something outside of us, which can always have variables. So if we can live more in a state that is of presence and as seeing ourselves as a constantly evolving human in a state of perpetual evolution, where today I might be these things and I might do these things and I might have these titles that are attached to me. However, that could change in an instant. You know, anything could change. I think, you know, the only constant is change, right? So this concept of being able to be in connection and presence in life, but not attaching ourselves onto not only the outcome of time, but anything outside of ourselves. And so when we bring it into relationship and connection, it's really, really important to stay in a place of sovereignty and autonomy, as opposed to placing all of our identity onto either the outlook of us through the eyes of another person or the container of the relationship. Because codependency is extremely normalized in society. I did a talk about this recently, and it's all about even our fairy tales from when we were young, songs we listen to, movies, books. There's actually really unhealthy attachment, and codependency is normalized, right? We talked about this the other day. And it's taking a step back from that, because it's so easy to fall into that and lose our identity in that. So this concept of being able to be present and fully open-hearted, you know, non-attachment isn't about hiding ourselves, because we could just bypass being in connection or anything like that, but open-hearted connection. So I am fully presently here as me today in this sovereign version of myself where I continue to work on myself. However, I'm not going to attach my worth onto another person or onto the relationship. So that's the concept of it. And it's, I've had a lot of people say to me, well, how the heck do I even do that?
Yeah. I'm just talking about going to back to that codependency. To me, it sounds like we're talking about wanting versus needing.
Absolutely. Like, desire as opposed to need.
Yeah. You want someone and you want them to want to. You don't need someone and they don't need you, because that's where the codependency comes in. Because, I mean, you were doing fine without them before they came into your life. Mm-hmm. You'll do fine after if they leave your life. It's not a need we're talking about. It's talking about a want. So is that what we're talking about there with codependency?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the most powerful thing you could ever truly embody is being able to know that you do not need anybody. Like saying to a partner, I don't need you. And gosh, that could sting, you know, that might sting some people if there's some wounds there. Oh, yeah. Like, of course, everyone wants to feel needed when they've got wounds there. However, when you're in these states of working on yourself continuously, then we get to this point of, we shouldn't need anything, anyone, you know, any number that's attached to like our career or our age or any of these things. It's being able to, be in a state of desire. I think the most beautiful thing you could ever say to someone that you cherish is, I don't need you, but I desire you and I choose you. Like, I choose to live in this world with you, to exist alongside you, to have experiences and create memories and learn from each other. You know, I really do believe that this is true, that relationships are not there for us to get love. I think people go into relationships because they want love and they think that they're going to get love out of it. Relationships are gifted to us as a way for us to learn about ourselves and to learn about other people. And when we can show up in this, what is here for me, what learning is here for me, as opposed to what can I get? Because that what can I get or I need, that is what you were talking about. It's got that frequency of fear, first of all, and dependency, and I am not enoughness, and like, who am I outside of this? We start to lose the essence of us if we're putting these concepts into connection. And, you know, that kind of goes on to something else we spoke about, which was, you know, and we spoke about this actually in the first chat that we've had around love and fear, you know, like, so we're either in love frequency or fear frequency in attachment. And if we're going into it with this fear of either like fear of being alone, or fear of like abandonment, rejection, neglect, all of these kinds of things, we're bringing an energy that's lack into connection anyway. And this is why, gosh, it is so important for us as individuals in or outside of relationship to be working on ourselves, to take radical responsibility for our own wellness and our own growth, so we can show up as the best version we can be today for that person, you know, and the best version of ourselves we can be today for us. And like, it's, I think people sometimes will hide parts of themselves or not show up authentically in connection because they're afraid if they do, that person might not then like them or they'll reject them or whatever it is. However, it is a true fact that nothing can ever be guaranteed. You could be in a marriage for, say, 40 years, and all of a sudden that person might not be there anymore. Something might happen to them, or something might take them to the other side of the world. Circumstances could always lead to loss. However, if we go into a container, a space with someone with this loss, lack frequency, well, then we're setting ourselves up for failure anyway. We're setting it up not to thrive.
It's like we're expecting it, right?
Exactly. So we're always on edge, you know, then it's the hypervigilance and the, I can't show my true self. You know, this I know definitely from experience in the past, not showing up authentically in relationship because of that fear of rejection, you know, or not speaking my truth because I was afraid of the response to it, the reaction to it.
I've got an example for me. So my first relationship, I was really deep in depression and suicidal thoughts and aggression. Like my aggression would build up and then just come out, and it would come out in private or with my partner. And I did my best not to show there was an authentic true side of what was going on with me, but I did my best to not show that because I wanted to stay in the relationship. If I did that, I thought she would leave me. And I had those dark expressions with her, but she loved me enough to stay and hope that things would change. But then I realized, oh, actually, this is not good. This is not good for me. This is not good for her. So it was my own realization of what was going on with me that caused me to change. And I broke up with her. And I thought it was the right thing to do. And in hindsight, it was, because now she's happily married with kids. And I've gone on my own path. But that's because something changed in me. I didn't change, but the awareness of what was going on inside me changed, and that caused the relationship that I thought I didn't want to end, because at the end of the day, that was the path that we were meant to be on. But it took a lot of ownership and responsibility and accepting that it was done. It was over. Our paths had crossed for a reason. We learned a lot, and they parted.
Absolutely, and there's two really beautiful things that you've expressed. One is authenticity, and the other is taking radical responsibility. Right. So what you've done is you've shown up in authenticity, not at first, because those fear frequencies are still sitting there. Mm. When we are completely in our authentic expression, it's the only way to really know whether it's a space for us or not. Same can be said for friendships and stuff like that. If we're not showing up in our authentic expression, then we're just showing a masked version of us anyway. And the thing is that maybe we're blocking ourselves from the people that are more aligned with us. And like you said, maybe we're blocking the other person from the people that are more aligned with them by not being our truest selves. And then that element of radical responsibility, you know, it is completely our responsibility to show up because we need to honor ourselves, you know, and doing the work on ourselves and reflecting on ourselves. And, you know, that's honoring ourselves. And then knowing when you're feeling things in connection, I think so many people are so afraid to have uncomfortable conversations. Mm. Like if you can't have uncomfortable conversations in your most intimate connection, well, then is that truly the space that, you know, your whole heart should be in?
Yeah, if you can't have those, then are you really in an intimate connection?
Yeah. I was speaking to a client yesterday and he was coming to seek some support from me in regards to some things from his previous relationship and is currently single and wanted to put some things in place to help move forward in terms of meeting somebody new. And so I spoke about some things that are really important to talk about early on in relationship and are really helpful and might be a bit uncomfortable, you know, talking about, okay, so if we come into conflict, everyone's like, oh, but it's the honeymoon phase and it's so, and I'm thinking, yeah, but you want to set up things early on in the connection to navigate through the potential challenges, because it's extremely naive of us to think that we are never going to go through challenges, either personally in life and needing to support the other person or they support us, or together in the relationship. And so it's being able to have some of those uncomfortable, not so sexy like conversations early on, so that then first of all you set a platform for we can talk about anything, and also we're going to be responsible and active in putting strategies in place to support ourselves individually and as a couple. And it's, I think honestly, even if you're not fresh in a relationship and you're listening to this and you've been with someone for a long time, if you have never had these conversations, do them now. Yeah. Like the perfect time was yesterday, but because it's so important. So some of the things I suggested to him to talk about were setting up a foundation. So this was hetero male, just to give some perspective, because he said to me one thing that used to come up quite a lot in his previous relationship was when his partner was in a down place, was in some darkness and some shadows and some heavy emotions, he said he felt like he was always giving the wrong kind of support. He's like, I swear, when I tried to give her solutions, that's not what she wanted. She wanted me to just be there. And then when I was just trying to be there, she wanted solutions. And I said, oh my gosh, I know, because men can't read women's minds. And it's so naive of us to think that they're just going to know. And I said to him, do you know the one thing that could make the biggest difference in that situation? And he said, what? I said, have the conversation. Do you need solutions or support? Like, what kind of support do you need right now? However, implementing a space for that conversation to take part when you're not in it. Mm. So like, have conversations when you're in a good place and you're chatting, be like, hey, look, okay, so if one of us is feeling overwhelmed by life or heavy emotions or energy or whatever it is, can we both take responsibility to initiate this conversation. Do you need solutions or support? Which one of it is, so I know how to best provide for you? And then when you're in the emotionally charged situation, you've already got the tools there to navigate through it. Yeah. And another one was giving him strategies for navigating through conflict. So having the conversations outside of conflict around, if I think we were talking about this, if the situation is starting to become charged, we will allow and create space for either one of us to say to the other person, I need to tap out. Like, I'm going to go and take responsibility to go and ground myself now. I can feel it's getting a bit heated and we're not going to get anywhere when the energy is like this. Like, I'm going to go and I'm going to do that. And the thing is, that conversation is so important to have previous, especially if you're in a relationship with someone that has had a history of abandonment, neglect, any of these things, because that will potentially trigger that abandonment wound, you know, because he's like, yeah, I would go and try and take space. But then she would get really upset because she was feeling abandoned completely. And I'd understand that if you don't have the context, like if you haven't created a container already of trust and respect to go, okay, they're going to make a choice now to go and ground themselves or regulate themselves. This isn't them leaving me, or this isn't me leaving them. This is us doing what is responsible as adults to then be able to come back into conversation when there isn't so much of the heated energy. And like having these combos so early on, he said to me, I don't know, when would you be doing that? And I said, honestly, after like a month in of dating someone, like be having them. He's like, really? I was like, yeah, because what you're doing is, first of all, you're putting things in place, but also you're going, we are creating a space where we're going to have these conversations. We're reflecting on ourselves and our relationship is going to become norm. So then in the future, like, let's reflect. Are these strategies working? What is happening? As opposed to being in it and then being like, oh my gosh, how did we get here? You know?
It's like trying to learn to swim when you're drowning.
Exactly.
You should have done that before, my friend.
Yeah.
So just going back to the, no, I've lost. Oh, yeah. So you're talking about when things get heated and you can feel energy rising inside you.
Yeah.
And I'm just wanting to put the focus on the languages. I need to tap out because there's something happening with me, right? You're not going because your energy is exactly. And you're triggering me and you are doing this. So I'm going to know I need to tap out because something's coming up in me. I'm not present. I'm not here. It's my thing. Give me a chance to pause. I'll come back grounded, blah, blah, blah. So it's just making sure you're owning and taking accountability and being responsible for your energy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for speaking into that. That's exactly it, because it's going, I'm going to take responsibility for myself, because we know that when we start to get into the emotions that come up, and like especially being really aware of our partner's nervous system states and pasts, because what happens when it comes to trauma in the body and nervous system dysregulation in the body is that a trigger that may come up, say abandonment's a great one because it happens a lot in intimate connections. So say there's an abandonment wound that is sitting within a person, and because of past circumstances and everything like that, what happens in the body is that the body can't differentiate between what is happening right now and every other single experience I've ever had of being abandoned. And so it's so much bigger. You know, that one moment of my partner said that they're in this conversation, but they can't be here, and then they leave, is that the nervous system actually goes, I now remember every single time anybody has ever left me and I've been alone. And so being able to be aware of those things is really important as well, because exactly like you said, the language can be so helpful of like, I love you, I'm going to go and make sure I can be the most present with you and the most loving towards you. But right now I need to go and take some time to breathe, to regulate, to do whatever I need to do.
Yeah, that's great. And also having those, we did talk about having hard conversations early when I came to see you, and I was less than a week in a new relationship.
Yeah.
And as soon as I left you, we had some of those hard conversations.
Okay, awesome. And because we talked about these kinds of things, and how did that go?
Great.
Yeah. Great.
Like, you know, it's been about 6 or 7 weeks now. And, you know, we continue to have those conversations around everything else that's going on.
Yes.
And it's great. Like, the communication's great. And it's definitely, we've learned to swim And when it's come to those big waves, we've been able to swim through them. Easy.
Oh, my gosh. Amazing. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just, it's the thing is, if we can set ourselves up, and again, if you're listening to this and you are, have already been in a relationship for ages, don't worry about it. Do it now. Because really what we want to do, right, is go, there's three elements. There's in any kind of connection, there's one individual, the other individual, and then there is the energetic entity that is the relationship, essentially.
Right.
And so if everyone involved can take responsibility to do what they can to create the most beautiful environment for things to thrive in all three places there. So it's like, I'm going to take responsibility for looking after myself and making sure that I'm like holistically balanced and, you know, socially filling up my cup, mentally, all those things. The other person will take responsibility for themselves. You're supporting one another in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also you're both committed to creating a container where things can thrive. Because that's right. It's just creating environments where things can do the best they can do. And then the thing is that what might come up in there is that you realize that person can't meet you there, or you realize that actually you're more different than you thought you were, or you realize that actually that's not the relationship for you. But at least you know you have done everything to create an environment where it could have thrived to the best of its capacity.
Yeah. Gardening comes to mind, right? Where you're trying to nourish something and you've tried all these things, and just at the end of the day, there's just no fruit, or it doesn't sprout. It's just not the time. It's not the season.
But at least you know. Yeah. And that comes back to that, you know, that knowing that we can only ever influence what is within our control, not what is outside of it. And so if you're showing up in these like strategies and tools that we're talking about today, and you're taking responsibility for your own life and all of these things, and still then there is strife and unhappiness and difficulty and there's just clashing in it, that's when then you can reflect and be like, actually, is this the best thing for both of us? Because you know you've done everything within your influence. And like I've said this sometimes to people I know that are looking at leaving relationships, and some of these have been very deep long-term relationships, and I've said to them, do everything that you possibly can for yourself and the relationship, and then reflect on it. Until you have done that, you don't know. You don't know what it could be.
And some people won't go there, and I'm talking about myself here as well. I will not reflect on everything and do my best, because there's a part of me that just wants it to go away and end. You know. And maybe if I did the work, we could still be in that relationship. But and I'll own up to that. Yeah. But it happens, you know.
And I think the other thing that sometimes, like, I've seen come in some of the coaching and stuff I've done with couples is this tit for tat. You know, well, like, why should I like show up and have these conversations and take responsibility for my life if they're not? This, like I said before, relationships are not there for us to get love. They're about what you can learn from it. It's not about they've done this, so I'm going to do that and I'm not going to show up. Show up for yourself as the person that you want to be in the world. Like if you can imagine that person is another part of you that is living outside of you.
Oh, that's beautiful.
How would you want to show up? And obviously this is coming from the perspective of knowing that you're in self-worth, because this is not like, okay, they can just treat me like crap and I'm just going to keep showing up as a loving person. No. Love is boundaries. But when it comes to wanting to strengthen or evolve the connection or the relationship, like sometimes you might be the person that has to lead that. But I encourage people not to go into it where like, but if I do that, they have to do that. It's like, no, there's definitely reciprocity. But sometimes this is, I would say, particularly for our men, is that a lot of these conversations and these skills were taught less to them. Like they weren't taught to us a lot as women, and we've had to navigate through them, but some of it is just more intuitive. However, I mean, the education around like emotional regulation and communication and the differences between the way that women process, like there's hardly any education out there for our men, right? And so sometimes there will be some leading, and it could be either way around, but it's an important thing to note.
That's why I'm very grateful that there's a men's circle here in Raglan every 2 weeks. It's a beautiful container of men having real conversations about what's going on in our lives. And I don't always go, but I just knowing it's there, I feel free to be more me outside of that. Because if I'm being authentic and stuff goes wrong, I can come back to the circle and go, hey, this happened. And they'll be like, oh, maybe it's this and maybe it's that and blah, blah, blah. It's just great. It's great to have that support as a man, you know, because I didn't have that growing up. Those intimate, real, vulnerable conversations with other men.
That's so cool. And like, honestly, I would encourage everyone, if they have the ability to come into spaces and villages of support, whether they're single or in a relationship, but outside of that container of the relationship, it's so valuable. You know, one of the things I think is most important for a healthy, thriving connection is the village outside of those two individuals as well. Mm. You know, because otherwise then it can become that this person is the one person that brings me experience and joy and connection and happiness and all of these things. However, when we can create an environment where both individuals have those supporting, loving connections outside of them, well, then you've got more capacity to give in the relationship anyway.
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure to put on one person.
Absolutely.
You're my everything. No, oh, please don't ever say that to me.
Like, that's not romantic.
No.
Like, it's not. And it's like I've said to people sometimes, and you know, for myself, like, I'm a single person right now, and it is one of the things that I will look at when I'm first meeting someone is not only do they have people around them, but what kind of people do they have around them? Like, are they also supportive, authentic, like loving, you know? Do they have their backs? Are they going to be there to offer them support that they're going to need as well? And I think it's something that we also have to take responsibility as individuals, because I've seen it happen. Like, I'll have friends and they'll go into the relationship. And of course, there's that first period of getting to know each other, which is so beautiful. But you can often see the people that then abandon all of their friendships and everything and connection. Ooh,
right.
And in my mind, I'm like, unhealthy attachment straight away. Like, if they're abandoning everyone and all of a sudden their whole world is that person, like, there's some kind of unhealthy attachment going on there.
I mean, I've heard of relationships where one person has told the other person, I don't like you, you're hanging out with that particular friend.
That's not it.
I mean, no, okay, so that's fine to share that, but then to say, you are not allowed, or I do not want you to hang out with that friend. That's where the issue is.
And that's when it's coming from someone that has a lack frequency going on, you know, that not enoughness or the jealousy or anything like that. You know, I think there's this term called compersion. I think we spoke about it, compersion. And it's often used in the non-monogamy scene because it's the opposite of jealousy. Compersion is being happy for somebody when you're not related to their happiness. And it, obviously it's used in non-monogamy because it's when there's open relationships. Right. However, it doesn't just relate to that.
That sounds like being a normal human.
I know. You know, it's being able to.
Whatever that means, normal.
Yeah. But be regulated, well adjusted. Yeah.
Compersion. Okay.
Compersion. Yeah. And it's this concept of, you know, say you're in a relationship and then your partner goes and has a great weekend away with friends, or they're like really, or even like they've got they're having huge success in their business or whatever it is being able to be so non-attached that you can be joyous for somebody else in their experiences of life, regardless of whether you're involved or not. And it takes some practice too, you know, and especially those of us who might have experienced like the infidelity or have experienced jealousy to a certain degree because we've been with untrustworthy people.
Well, this is something I wanted to talk about, is jealousy. What are your ideas jealousy around there? So it's like lack of trust, past experience where that trust has been broken and betrayal.
Yeah. And you know what? I think, yes, those would be, I think, the surface level things. When somebody is displaying jealous tendencies or behavior, it could be potentially because of your past experiences, not trusting people, all those kinds of things. You go deeper, then it will be something to do with a lack of self-worth and self-belief. There'll be something even deeper than that is often residing underneath the surface. And again, it's that attachment onto, but I want all of their experiences to be with me, or I want all of their attention, or, you know, their whatever it is to be completely on me. Like, gosh, that can only come from not feeling whole in yourself, right?
So it's like, yeah, so it's a hole you're trying to fill up.
Yeah.
And it sounds like we're going back to the codependency thing.
Yeah.
And the needing versus wanting thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And you know, it's sending compassion and love. If you're listening to this and any of these things, you're like, oh gosh, that's a little bit me. Like, yeah, you know, we're human and we've all had different experiences and there is no perfect version of us. However, when we can start to just bring awareness into potentially some behaviors in ourselves or patterns in relationship that are not the healthiest that they could be, then it allows us to look at it and send compassion to it and you know, be like, oh, yep, okay, yeah, I definitely have been doing that and bring it to the surface and whether get some support or do work on it yourself or have these conversations in relationship. You know, it's so beautiful to think of being in such a safe container that you could, after hearing us talk about this, then go to a partner and say, so I've noticed that there's some patterns in myself that I would really like to look at. I'd really love your support in that. Here's what I'm going to do to take responsibility for it because I love how we are now, but I think we could be in an even healthier dynamic.
Would you class that as a difficult conversation, a hard conversation?
Totally depends on the relationship, I guess. I would hope that that's the kind of conversation that could come into any dynamic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, of because it's self-development based, you know, it's taking responsibility for ourselves. And really, if the person that we are with doesn't want us to grow and become an even more happier, regulated version of ourselves, well, then do they truly love us?
Mm. I'm asking that because me and my partner had a similar conversation last night. And I'm thinking, are we still having these difficult, hard conversations? Or is it because we had those difficult, hard conversations early on? All the following conversations are just real, authentic, just vulnerable, loving.
Yeah. Yeah. You've created a space where anything can come in and exist, you know, and I think that that's just how it should be. It's like check-ins, you know, like, how was your day today? Like, how was work today? Like, how's your mental health today? Like, how are you feeling in yourself? Like, I don't think that those should be like challenging or abnormal conversation topics. <Yeah. laughs> I think they should just be what it is. Yeah. You know, like what, you know, anything, has anything come up recently? Or
one of the questions I like to ask is, how's your sleep? Do you have to sleep?
Totally. Yeah.
Start from there.
Like real stuff. Like and we come back to what we said before. This is our most intimate connection, right? Do we really want to be traveling through our most intimate connection with like weather conversations, which is like what I call them, of just surface level? Or do we really want to see what could be created and what could be possible and what we could learn from it?
Yeah. You said before, just offhand, you're human, you're not perfect. And just to my mind, I received perfect as boring. So when people think of other people being in a perfect relationship, I think that's boring.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not real, you know, like it's not. And coming from someone who had what was like white picket fence life, you know, I was married, 3 kids, university degree, like living this life that apparently on paper was perfect. Like I even had people say to me after the separation but I thought you guys were the perfect couple. Right. You guys are perfect for each other, you know? And like, gosh, the pressure of, and the questioning that then I got around, why would you leave something so perfect? Somebody must be deficient. There must be something, you know, all of those things that go around it. Like I would honestly, if somebody came to me now and said, oh, you're in a, like your relationship seems perfect, I'd be like, okay, no.
I need to change it up now.
Yeah, we need to talk about this. You know, it should be a constantly evolving relationship with two constantly evolving humans. That's it. Like that's a beautiful thing to continue to aspire to in many ways. And I think it's like when I've just started re-listening to a book. It's called The Mastery of Love. And it's a really beautiful, quite profound book.
Who's that by?
Oh, get it for you.
Is that the Four Agreements guy?
Maybe it is. I will get it for you right now while I'm talking about it. So
hold on, Cora.
I was originally recommended it by someone I was going into an open relationship with. So we had a container for a few months of being in an open relationship. And he said to me, I really love for you to listen to this book before we actually go into it. Okay, so The Mastery of Love, A Practical Guide to the Art of Relationship by Don Miguel Ruiz. Cool. And like one of the things that he speaks on early on in the book is that there's multiple versions of us that exist. And we know this concept from, you know, everyone only sees us through the lens of their own experience. However, when you come into intimate connection as well, there's originally we meet someone, there's the real, true, authentic us. And then there's often the us we're trying to portray to them when we first meet them. You know, we want to put our best selves out there, totally, you know. But then there's also the versions of them that exist in our head. And if we aren't seeing them truly for who they are, then we're always trying to get them to be this version of them that we see in our heads, right? Either the possibility of them or the idea of them, or only wanting to see their good, their positive traits or their positive emotions. I'm using the little finger things. Yeah. And so it's like, it's this perception thing that can often happen in that container. And the more that we can accept ourselves and work on ourselves as the authentic version of us, the more open we are to seeing that other person as well in their flaws, you know, in the things that makes them who they are, as opposed to trying to see them as this version of them that they could never attain anyway. You know, I think it sets us up. I know I've definitely been guilty of this in the past, of seeing the potential in someone, seeing the person they could be, and then like holding out for that. And it's not fair. It's not fair and it's not present.
I'm thinking of like layers where the less true and authentic you are to who you are, you build up layers on yourself and how you perceive the world. And then through those layers, you see other people and then you don't see them as well. So being true and authentic and real with yourself means being naked and removing those layers, which allows you to see the nakedness of other people as long as they've removed their layers as well. And I've been in relationships and it's something, I don't know if it's a fear or just something I really don't want in a relationship, is I want to be seen. I want to be wanted for who I am. So if I'm going to be me, can you see me for being me? Because I feel like I've been in relationships where I've been me, but the person is seeing something else or someone else. And it just felt, it just didn't feel, it felt weird. It's like, are you really receiving me right now? Because what I'm doing right now is actually quite out of it, but you seem okay with this, which is great. I'm just hope it's me you're seeing and not this idea of someone else you're seeing and that you want out of me, because I can't give you that.
And I think if we were all going to be completely honest in our vulnerability, we all want to be seen. We all want to be seen and heard and valued and respected for who we truly are. However, in order for that to exist in reality, we have to find out who we are.
Yes.
We have to pull back our own layers and find out who we are underneath everything that has been put on top of us, and often not by choice, you know, whether it was childhood experiences, you know, or things that were completely outside of our control. You know, we carry memory right from when we were conceived. We have somatic memory from conception, you know, and if we were in environments where we couldn't feel safe, then I believe as adults, it then becomes our responsibility to learn how to cultivate that space of safety in ourselves.
Yeah, so there's that somatic memory from conception. I'd say there's epigenetic memory from a few generations before.
Absolutely. And then there's
ancestral memory from your whole lineage. And then there's karmic energy from the cosmos. So there's all these different memories you have, and you have to deal with it because it's yours, right? No one else's.
And it's the one thing we can 100% influence in this life is how we show up. Like how we show up, how much we want to learn about ourselves. Like that's the one thing that we can always take responsibility for. Nobody else can stop us from growing, from evolving, from learning. And so if we can look at it like that, we go, well, all that I am meant to do is show up in life, but in relationship, that's what we're talking about, as the truest, most authentic version of me. Well, then nothing can go wrong because everything will be exactly how it's meant to be. You know, sometimes I hear single people say to me, oh, I was in a relationship and it didn't work out. And I think, well, did you learn something? And they say, well, yeah, I guess so. And I said, well, then it did work out. There's no such thing as didn't work out. There's a cycle that happened. And as long as you were showing up how you were meant to, it was exactly how it was meant to be. And that's that non-attachment, right?
Yeah, and going back to the three entities, you, the other person, and the relationship, the space, the container, you and the other person didn't work out. But the relationship did.
It gave it you what it was supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe they won't learn the things, but all you can do is show up as the person that you want to be to learn the things, you know. And there can definitely be grief and frustration in that, you know, and seeing, being like, oh, if only they learned the things from this of what? Well, that's a whole lot of wasted energy, isn't it? What if? Like, of course there's what ifs, but all you need to focus on is you.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why I have that real, not a need, but I really want to be seen and want to see the other person is maybe we're meant to be each other or maybe we're not. And we'll only know that if we're really us in the container, in the space. Because love is meant to be this authentic space, right? And if you're not being authentic, is it really love? And you could be married, like you said, for 40 years and all of a sudden, oh, that you're not the person. Well, I've just finally felt comfortable to be myself. Oops.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. It's the only way that we truly know.
Mm.
Yeah. Otherwise, that's when you have to start. You have to start looking at why you're in a connection if it is not to be able to be your most raw self, because that's when you can see how maybe there's unhealthy attachment or there's the fear of being alone or you're feeling the pressure of society that your worth is wrapped up in your marriage or having the family that is the two parents and the kids together or whatever it is. Like when we can actually go, can I be the most raw, authentic version of myself? That is what I'm here to do. And if it's a yes, then beautiful and see what's there for you. And if it's a no, well, then that's a conversation that needs to be had.
Yeah. Have you got anything else there to share?
There's one other point that I think is just so simple and can help people in so many ways. And that is looking at not only your own, but your partner's love languages.
Oh, yeah.
Like so simple. So, and I've said this to so many couples, they're like, oh, we don't even know. I'm like, oh my gosh, your worlds are about to change. Because knowing your own love language, the way that you like to give and receive love, or top ways, because there are a couple. So if you've never heard of them, go and have a look. There's five different types. There's gift giving, quality time, physical touch, words of affirmation, and acts of service. And we all have top ways that we like to give or receive love. And what can often happen in connection is that one person is giving in the way that they like to give, but the other person, that's not the way they receive love. And so one person is like, I'm giving them all the things, I'm trying to show them I care about them. And the other person is like, no, you're not. But it's just because they're not receiving it in the way that they're giving. Yeah. And it's not about having to have the same love languages. You do not need that at all in relationship. However, if you don't already know, I encourage you to go online, do the quiz that tells you what your top love languages are and have a conversation around it. Like I said to a couple I was working with, hers was words of affirmation. And he wasn't aware of that, first of all. And I said to him, okay, so say you're on your lunch break at work, couple of days a week, you're on your lunch break at work. You take the time to send a message to your wife and say to her, give her a really beautiful, authentic compliment. Like, you looked so gorgeous this morning, darling. Hope you're having a great day. Or like, I just love like how you're cracking business at the moment. I love how you hold space for like your friends, whatever it is. You're such a great mother. If you did that a couple of days a week, right? How much time is that going to take? And he's like, oh, like a minute, you know, like 5 minutes over a week, right? Takes hardly any time, hardly any energy. Wouldn't be the way that he'd normally give love. I said, do you know, it'd probably change her whole world. And he's like, what? And I looked at her. I said, would that change your whole world? And she said, yes. Like so simple when we can just learn the ways. And then especially when we have our beloved going through challenging times, going through darker days, if we know the way that they will best receive love and support from us in those moments, it means we can give them the best opportunity to receive from us, right? So important. And then the other one when it comes to intimacy is the erotic blueprint types. So very similar to the concept of love languages, but it's specifically to do with sexual expression and intimacy. Again, there's five different types. You can go online and have a look at it. It was originally came out in the Gwyneth Paltrow series that she did around like sexual wellness and stuff. And again, it's not about having to have the same ones, but if you can have conversations around, this is the way like I like to express myself, this is the way I like to receive, well, then you'll either have the same ones or you can make sure that you're catering to the other person's, and then everyone has a more fulfilling experience. So we've got these tools that are available, and it's quite cool with like, obviously I don't think we should ever not be having the straight conversations, but quizzes and stuff like that are really great. For bringing in something external, a tool externally that can support. Yeah, top. If you're not doing that in the relationship, I 100% please go and do it. and find out the ways that your partner loves to give and receive the most, because again, you're adding to the environment and creating a better way for it to foster and thrive.
And find out how you give and receive. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I'd just say the other point on that with love languages is that not only the other person, but once you know your own, if you don't already, you then can take responsibility for bringing experiences into your life via those that isn't putting all of the pressure onto your partner. Like I've got, you know, I know couples who one of them is physical touch and the other one isn't. And so I've said, go and book yourself in for a monthly massage. Like do things outside of it so that that cup is just getting filled up a little bit more externally as well via those means, so that, again, you're coming in as a fuller cup.
Yeah, for me, in terms of the love languages, I love to give. That's how I love, is to give. But when I receive a gift, I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, but they're different.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes the giving and receiving is different.
Exactly. So, but when I get, when someone pays me attention with quality time, and you know, that's when I receive it. All right, that's how I receive love, but I give it by gift giving. So there's an example there.
Yes, so beautiful. And how great is it to just know that, right? Yeah. Like know how we work. And it gives us the best opportunity for love and joy and all those things.
What did you say before about see your partner as another version of you or something?
As another part of you outside of you.
As another part of you, right, outside of you. I thought that was beautiful. And it makes me think of something Jordan Peterson talks about when you're having an argument, right? And it's not about winning and losing.
No.
Because guess what happens when you win? They lose. And that means you're with a loser. It's like, do you want to be with the loser? I don't want to be with a loser. So why would I make them lose, right? So it's not about winning and losing. It's about finding a way to both win or to both not lose at the minimum, right?
Totally.
Because if that is a part of you outside of you, you don't want yourself to lose either, right? So I love that you said that, and that brought that to mind.
Yeah. Let's, you know, and it comes into those conversations of like unity consciousness of, you know, I love this in Reiki, especially Karuna Reiki, is like the concept is it's of compassionate action, and that we're all equal in this. We're just with different experiences and different lives and all these different things. But really, if we can see everyone outside of ourselves as a reflection of us as well, then we will go about like showing kindness and not wanting them to be put down or lose in an argument or whatever. Like, it's not about that. It's about helping each other.
Mm. Get your or leave your egos at the door when you get home.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. And there was something that came up in our earlier dialogue about fear and how people during the crazy past few years, it really came out that people were expressing fear that wasn't their own.
Mm.
Do you want to expand on that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, even when we look at it from a neurological or a nervous system point of view, is that we know that collective trauma impacts individuals. So times of war, of great strife, emergencies and experiences that happen on a social level that impact a number of people, it has an impact on our nervous systems, which means that can create more fear frequency and lack frequency within us. So if we take it, the circumstances of the last couple of years is that never really to this scale have we had so much fear frequency, mainly because of the ability for information to be shared on such a wide scale. So when we had a virus that came in and then that frequency, fear frequency, spread globally to this scale, I still believe that we are in the recovery mode from what that did to our nervous systems,
right?
Like the hypervigilance, that not being able to see people's faces, which then led to more emotional disconnect, the things that were coming in via media, all of these things have actually set us as a collective into a more of a fear state. And it's really important to be aware of for ourselves individually. But then when it comes into relationship as well, we have something called a mirror neuron system. And so what that does is it duplicates the emotions of someone that we're sitting very intimately with in a space, like for us with clients and everything like that as well, because what our body is trying to do is sink in and allow them to feel what they're feeling so that they can feel seen. It's actually so they can feel seen and heard and respected and appreciated, you know?
Yeah.
However, if we're not aware of ourselves and our own energy and our own frequency and our own experiences, we can be impacted by that. It's like in relationships, sometimes like we actually we're feeling our partners or our love's feelings, even though they're not our own. And this is why this self-development work and knowing ourselves and what it feels like to be in our own bodies, what it feels like to be in our own emotions, doing grounding tools, like doing self-development things. And I'm a big advocate for somatic work as well, working with the body, you know, like reading books and the personal development through the cognition is fantastic and is really important. Helps us to understand ourselves, psychology, all those things really well. However, to be more present and embodied, it's also to bring in somatic therapies as well. So, you know, movement, like breath work and immersion into nature and energy work and all these things that just help us somatically feel what it is to be in ourselves is so valuable.
That would include massage, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Are you hinting?
No, I've got to go to a massage now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Things that just help us to be more presently in our body. It gives us the ability to differentiate between what is ours and what's not.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's true in relationship, this whole, it just makes me think of judgments and projection. When someone judges you, it's a projection of them. It's like an energy coming towards you. It could be their fear, right? And then something triggers you. So their fear triggers your fear.
Mm-hmm.
But it's their fear that started that sort of fear cascade and chain reaction. And for me, the author that you mentioned before, he's got a book, The Four Agreements, and the second agreement is don't take things personally. And that's allowed me to know and set up boundaries of what's mine and what's theirs. Yeah. So when someone judges me or projects to me, it doesn't mean anything at all because it's not mine. That's fine. You can say whatever you want. It means nothing to me. Thank you for confessing what's in your heart.
Yeah. And also like being okay with the fact that if there are emotional triggers in the body, we can just be present with them. You know, I find the more work we do, the less that we're bothered by it. Every now and then I find personally there are particular people in my life that have been really close to me that if they express their opinions with a judgment frequency, it still will like get me sometimes. But what will happen is I'll just go, whoo, and allow any sensations to come up, even allow any thought patterns to come up and just witness them and just be like, cool, I'm having a bit of a response to this. Just allow it to be, move through it myself. So then their poison is not going back out as poison from me, which is what Mastery of Love is like these poisons, right? And they go, choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. And that's the part, again, that's the part we can influence. We cannot influence if somebody is going to see us through a particular lens, judge us, bring their fear in. But what we can do is be with our present experience.
So you're transmuting that energy into something more
back
light.
Into love.
Yeah, love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bringing us back into love. So I guess, I mean, for me, a lot of these issues of being connected with attachment and needing versus wanting is because people don't realize that they have all that they need.
They are completely whole.
What's something you can do, like people can do to learn more about or to get an understanding of, I have everything I need? What's something you can suggest?
Honestly, a combination of the things I was speaking about, of the cognitive and learning side of what it is to be human in the human experience. Like I think that, gosh, every teenager should be taught psychology. Like it just baffles me that it isn't a fundamental part of our education because it relates to everything, understanding how, like the most recent neuroscience is just fascinating. So I would say learning through cognition and through the body about yourself, it's the best ways, you know, really getting amongst somatic work as well, and knowing the things that are really grounding for you. Because again, the more that you can be in the full experience of what it is to be you, the more full that you feel as well. I would also say the people that you're around would have a massive influence on where you're at on that, in that scale of feeling whole and full in yourself. You know, I think having some honest conversations about, are you surrounding yourself with people that, again, there's no perfect version of people, but that are also working on themselves, you know, that are also able to show up and not be in those, like the gossipy, the judgy, the projectiony kind of behaviors. You know, are you surrounding yourself with people that want to see you foster and thrive, you know, or is that intimidating and going to trigger them? Like, now we know, right, through research is that you are heavily influenced by the five people you spend the most amount of time with. So you could be doing all you want, but yeah, if you're with those people, it's gonna
your environment is key. And what's coming to my mind as you were talking is scarcity versus abundance. Yeah. And I guess fear could be a scarcity mindset. Love could be that abundance mindset. And if all you're surrounded by is scarcity, it's going to be, it's not impossible. You can shift into love, but it's so much easier when there's love around you and abundance, right? So when there's that abundance and people are just uplifting and high vibe, and when they fall, everyone helps each other get back up. No one's making fun of each other or laughing that someone fell. It's all about supports and love. If you can find that, find your tribe and community, right? I think we mentioned that last time about village.
And be that. Like, show up as the friend to yourself that you would want to be for others. Because the more you be that, the more you're going to attract it in as well.
Yeah, be the lover you want to have.
Yeah, yep.
I think that's a great way to end.
Yeah, it's beautiful. If you haven't already, like, a perfect follow-on from this is to watch the video that it's a poem by Adam Rower, and it's You Are Who You've Been Looking For.
Mm.
And it's a really beautiful articulation of, like, self-love and of choosing you. You are who you've been looking for.
All right. Well, I think that was a pretty good. We did well for 1 hour, putting all that in, compressing it. where can people find you if they wanted to work with you? And I highly recommend Shaui. I had Reiki. I've had clarity sessions. She's beautiful and wonderful and very insightful. She's really in tune with the flow. Where can people find you?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's so nice that we've actually got to hang out since the first time we recorded too. So I'm based in the Bay of Plenty. However, nearly all of my work can be done online now. So you can find me via my website, which is mamachowholistichealing.com. I use Instagram a lot as a platform, which is mamachowceo. I share a lot of information on there. So yeah, I am available for Reiki. I teach Reiki as well. I do intimacy coaching, couples coaching, mindset coaching. I'm just almost about completed my training in embodied processing therapy, which is a really fantastic somatic therapy as well. I run regular retreats and stuff too. We've got a men's retreat coming up next month and then a woman's one in November. So yeah, I advertise pretty much everything in all the places. Oh, I'm on Facebook as well. My business is on Facebook, Mama Chow Holistic Healing.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Thanks for that. That was beautiful.
Thank you. Yay. Thank you so much.
Thank you once again, Shaui. That was a beautiful conversation. It's always a blessing to be in dialogue with you. I always receive a lot of awesome insights during our conversations. And yeah, if you'd like to work with Shaui, I highly recommend her. She is a holistic practitioner, which is what I love about her the most. We need more holistic practitioners out there who can see people in the entirety and help bring balance and healing to all aspects of our being. And yeah, so that's it from me. Until next time, stay free, be yourself, know that you are loved, and that you are love. Kia kaha.